Hello and welcome to episode 127 of Yawgmoth Soap Opera, the vintage-related podcast for you, the community. Yawgmoth Makeover Part 2. I'm Andy, a.k.a. Montolio, and I'm joined by my regular co-hosts, Josh, a.k.a. Cronin, and Zach, a.k.a. Abstract66. And of course, we've got another special guest this week, Mike, a.k.a. Danger Linto, creator of ClassicQuarter.com and formerly the ultimate advocate for Classic, who's here to talk a little bit of vintage with us this week. How are you guys doing? And welcome, Mike.
Thanks very much, guys, for having me on again.
I'm doing great.
I'm doing spectacular.
So this week, we've got Mike on. We're going to talk. We missed some spoilers last week, and we're likely, by the time this episode comes out, it's Thursday night right now. There's going to be some more spoilers released.
And we're 20 days away. 20 days away from playing.
Yeah, very close to everything here, so we'll be a little bit behind, but there are some big name cards that we missed last week. And we've also got a lot of good information on the cost of vintage online, even at this point, before we know all the cards that are dropping compared to paper vintage. And this is based on just things going up since, Mike, you did an article about 6 months ago, was it?
Yep. Almost pretty much just after they announced VMA.
And just the shock of how much things have gone up in the paper world. And we haven't seen, I don't think, even a small percentage of the amount that things are going to go down online still. Duels haven't dropped and that sort of thing.
And we haven't seen what else is going to be spoiled. Anything else that gets spoiled might drop like a rock too.
True. Yeah, we've seen big money cards. We don't know where those are headed. I mean, how many LEDs are actually needed in the world, but we'll see.
Well, spoilers, what do we have this week? What's come out since we had the cast last week? Anything good, guys?
So one of the big name cards we missed, and I know, Zach, you're happy about this one, is Mana Drain.
I am super excited about Mana Drain. It's actually one of those hot button cards for me that I mentioned when we started on the Vintage Spoiler Train, and, you know, they started with Force of Will, and I wasn't necessarily as angry as I was shocked because they spoiled all these great cards and really none of them like happened to be the ones that I was like hoping they would spoil. And Mana Drain happens to be one of these specific ones that I mentioned. So very cool to see that coming in. Still waiting on the port. And we did get
Misdirection
was spoiled as, what is that set called? The weird one? Conspiracy?
Conspiracy?
I guess it's pseudo-spoiled, right? Like it's... It didn't really get spoiled as part of the VMA. It's, I guess it's possible it's not in there, but that seems pretty unlikely.
It's a pretty easy step to make.
I would think so. They even went and got new art for it. But we're not going to put it in VMA, so, you know, we're going to. That's probably not going to happen.
Both of those things.
I think the same goes for port as well. Anything that was in the masked block, I think that has any semi-importance to vintage is going to be reprinted in this set. Even though port is not a big vintage card, I think both Misdirection and port are good candidates to get released here.
And knowing you and your affinity for the workshop builds with the Stax engines, you like yourself a little port sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, no, my last iteration of Stax, I was running ports and they were pretty good, so I don't know how that shakes up in vintage, mind you, but it's something that I'll definitely be trying.
Very cool.
Any other cards, guys?
I don't know if Time Vault was spoiled at the time, and there's Misha's Workshop.
Right, Armageddon came out today.
Another big one was Icarid. I think Icarid is new.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's kind of a rare that kind of slid under the radar because everyone thinks, you know, Dredge is such a cheap deck, but the Icarids aren't cheap.
No. Yeah, they're like, what, $17 right now?
Yeah, exactly. Well, not anymore. They won't be anymore because it's rare. They're going down.
Yeah. And Bazaar's in the set as well, right? So you can pretty much pick up what's expensive in Dredge.
I think there's anything left expensive in Dredge. There just won't be.
Is it?
This might be a good time to actually, you know, to our vintage paper brethren out there, give a piece of advice to when you're coming on to Moto, you're going to be seeing a lot more Dredge than you're accustomed to. So pack your hate.
What's the last expensive card? Is it that Rainbow Land still expensive?
Undiscovered Paradise.
I'll tell you right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you a card that I think hadn't been mentioned, but I think would be a really good purchase, and that is Serum Powder.
Serum powder. Yep.
Yep.
They're pretty cheap, though, are they not?
I don't know. I haven't checked them in a while.
Yeah, they're like $2. Yeah. $3 maybe. Yeah. No, yeah. Apart from Ikrid, online, the only other expensive, the most expensive card is Undiscovered Paradise. It's like $12.
That's actually not too bad, considering it's from the Vision. What is that, a Visions card?
Yeah. Vision? Yeah.
And what's the one from Odyssey where you sack it to Eternal Land?
Oh, Cephalid Colosseum?
No.
Petrified Field.
Yeah, Petrified,
yeah.
What is that?
A lot of builds don't run that. I don't have it tacked on here. I'd have to go look it up.
Yeah.
We've got that new Rainbow Land that people can use, too, so I imagine that one's going to be a lot
City
cheaper.
Of Brass isn't all that expensive.
And a Confluence.
Yeah.
Right, City of Brass will probably be less expensive in the long run anyway if you really want to run Mana Confluence because it's, I guess, technically slightly better. If your land gets tapped, it doesn't do a point of damage to you, I guess. But
that goes back to Rashid and Port. Watch out, City of Brass.
Oh,
I've done that before. That's a sweet feeling when you're tapping
slow a City bleed. Of
Brass. You're a dirty bird.
The very slow bleed.
Yeah, enjoy that.
I guess the other one that I don't know if it was from your last podcast, but City in a Bottle got pushed out, or maybe that was before the last podcast. But now it's been revealed that it's a mythic.
Yeah, we knew it was in the set, I think, but we have a little more information on rarities now, and yeah, that's an interesting mythic.
Like what? To me, that seems like a terrible card. Like, what does it hit outside of Library of Alexandra?
Well, and if assuming Library of Alexandria is a mythic, and so is Bazaar, that's like what are the chances that you're going to draft a City in the Bottle, and like you're going to be up against another person who, as their mythic, has one of those two cards?
Look, maybe you've never faced down stone throwing devils, but I have, and I know what they're capable of.
I have faced down stone throwing devils and flying men.
They are beastly.
Yeah, you're going to want to first pick that for sure, because that's like opening a Jace. I would rather open a City in a Bottle than a Jace, probably.
I will remember you said that every time I see you open a City of Bottles. I will call karma.
That's okay, man.
I wonder if the guys at MDGO have like a flag set up on the server every time like City in a Bottle appears as somebody's mythic. If they've got like a little thing that like just ticks off who it was and then checks out how many times they made complaints about how crappy the mythic is.
I would rather they have a checkbox that checks off every time they open City in a Bottle their chance to open power the next draft quadruples.
Actually, it just generates a form letter apology.
Yeah, that would be a good one for sure. Yeah, it just comes up right then and there. Like,
it's part of your prizes when you get your pre-release avatar. It includes a fucking
form letter. To whom it may concern.
That's hilarious.
Well, of course, you know that guy would be sitting in the Bottle, get passed around the table by like the second week. I mean, it's a mythic, right? So it's you got to get it eventually, I guess. But you know. 4 weeks in when everybody has their one City in a Bottle or whatever they feel like getting, you know, and they're passing it around the table and some guy takes it and then he beats you with it because you couldn't Desert Twister him.
Yep. It'll win the one game and you'll just feel like a genius.
You know what card I'm actually really surprised I haven't seen is Jism Dejin. I'm surprised they haven't thrown that one out there. I mean, it was already in, right? But it's been
pronounce that before. Again?
Jism Dejin? Jism Dejin? Jism Dejin?
All right. That was worth the repeat.
There you go. Whatever. However you want to pronounce all the ridiculous names that are there. You know which card I'm talking about. It's 5-5 and it corrects you.
I know.
I just can't believe that Andy is trying to call you out on pronunciation.
Yeah. I don't say a boot either.
Well, yeah. Mike's Canadian. Mike's just lives up the street from me.
Wasn't Jism Dejin the... That was the card that was like so dark that you couldn't see the mana cost on it, and people used to think it cost even less.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was actually one of the. Actually, I think there was a second printing that didn't have quite the. It was a little bit clearer, but yeah, there's some printings of it which are just so dark it looked like it cost two black mana or something like that. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's like Dark Ritual, Jism Dejin, and Holy Strength on it. Huh? Go. Wait a second.
Dark Ritual, no, you just Lotus that up.
Well, let's be fair. Did you actually have a Black Lotus and a Juzam Dejin?
Of course. I mean, you don't need the Lotus. You know, it's your worst card in your deck at that point. But
it was. It was, especially if you had like a 500-card deck, which most people did at that time. They just put like everything they owned, and it was like, woohoo! I actually get to cast something because I got all the right forests, so I can play Gaea's Leash.
It's so weird to think back, though, and like think that there was ever a time when casting way expensive things like super early in the game wouldn't have seemed amazing. You know what I mean? Like, if you ever played it one time, why would it not be amazing?
Yeah, but nobody owned those cards.
Oh, no one owned it. Okay.
Yeah, nobody owned. No, I knew one person who owned a Mox back in 1990. I want to say 94.
I had one in 93. I had a Mox Pearl and a Time Twister.
Yeah, a Time Twister, I had two.
That card was like a chase card, too. Oh, everybody thought that back was then, the real deal. That card,
people were so mad when you played Time Twister. I'd be like, I used up all my cards. I don't care what you got in your hand. Oof, you know, gone. Here's seven more for me.
Yep.
I would just sit there on it and then like, oh, okay. And then I just lay out one Prodigal Sorcerer after another. Right?
I,
and when your deck
I am
was like,
not excited about that card.
What?
Time Twister?
Like, not at all.
It's not good anymore.
Yeah.
You'll definitely not be that happy when you get that as your special.
You know what? I'll be happy. I'll be happy if I open a Time Twister. Don't get me wrong.
It's still used.
Oh, it's still going to be a lot of money, too.
Yeah, it's still used. There's no way. I mean, it's obviously the red-headed stepchild of the Power 9.
You get excited at City. I'll get excited at Time Twister.
Yeah. City in a bottle. Okay.
Excited about Ancestral Recall or Black Lotus for me.
And you will be excited at Goblin General.
Hey, I'm going to build a Goblin deck. There's no doubt about it.
We got to do some classic community drafts.
For sure.
For sure.
It'll be really hard. Do you think there's ever going to be a time when VMA is just sort of sitting there languishing and there's like zero people and you get to rush it?
I don't know. You gotta time it. You got to say, when's it going to fire? Go.
Yeah.
You might get six.
Yeah. You might. You won't get eight. It's going to be a long time, I think, before we find a VMA draft spot where you just get to rush it.
You see, I'm hoping to get in draft pods with people that are passing me Power 9. That's
good luck.
Kind of people like
good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's.
Hey, man, I can tell you, I have had drafts with people that have passed me ridiculous cards. Like, I'm talking like, didn't we have someone pass us a Bonfire once?
Yeah, probably, but that's not really a Black Lotus.
Well, it's not, but someone's going to make that mistake with me. I'm sure of it.
Count on it.
Here's a question for you. Where is it going to be in the pack?
That's what you're scared of. I know how you are with these
new
ones.
It's on the bottom right hand side or the top left, whatever it is in beta.
Dude, I'm telling you right now. Like, that's Josh knows me very well.
Well, you know how many times we were playing Powered Cube and I had to say, take the Mox.
Dude, I'm really concerned. Like, I get super excited about it. Like, I keep using the reference to Battle Screech. It's just the kind of card where I'm going to get super excited to see it. I'm going to be like, yeah! And then I'm going to just, you know, it just, let's put it this way. It just needs to be in a certain spot that I need to look at every time I open a pack.
It should, like, blink at you, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it and, like, shine. Be an arrow. It should be a little arrow, like, that kind of moves
little red
and points
arrows
in and out.
Yeah. Point at it. Yeah. That's
perfect. It says, it like, auto pick. If you get the special card, it should just auto pick it for you.
It should do my favorite thing, that scroll over and make it big that Andy hates so much. If it would do that, it would be perfect.
Bow! Make a big noise, too.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how much power costs, and I'm going to kind of use that as a segue here, because today, Josh and Mr. Mike put together something special to go over, so...
No credit to me.
No credit to you. It's all Mike, and Mike, why don't you lead us in here to what you've been working on, and maybe we can get to discussing.
Sure. Well, I mean, for those of you who are following Pure MTGO, I wrote an article about 6 months ago now, which I think coincided just after release or the announcement of VMA, where I went through and took a couple of tournaments worth of decks took all the cards in those decks and said, okay, well, how much would it cost you to put this together in paper? And then how much would it cost you to put this together online, you know, subtracting the fact that you just couldn't put power. Every other card was available, but those ones. And, I mean, that article is still there and you can look up. But I thought it'd be, you know, fun to go back. And I was just expecting to, if I just took the exact same cards, found out what all their current prices was, because, you know, Force of Will has gone down considerably in this time. It's down to like $35 or $36 now, whereas at the time it was like $100 for a Force of Will. And other cards have gone down a little bit. So I just thought I would say, hey, I wonder if it's, you know, if it's actually gone down. And it turns out actually that even though that had happened, the price of fetch lands and dual lands had gone up on MTGO since I did this 6 months ago. And so it turned out to be almost a wash in terms of the price of what it would cost you to put together these decks online. But more surprisingly was what happened to the price of these same decks in vintage, where in paper vintage, in the because I was thinking about classic, but you're right. In paper world, it at same time, you know, 6 months ago, it was $17,000 to put together, you know, a collection that would let you play each and every one of those decks. And, you know, $6,000 of that was just Power 9. And then 10,000 or 11,000 of it was sitting in, you know, dual lands and other expensive cards like Time Vault and so on and so forth. And now that exact same collection would cost you just under $27,000, or almost $10,000 more in the span of 6 months.
I wonder why.
That's insane.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I was so flabbergasted by it. I was like, this can't be right. And I was like, okay. And I was using MTG Goldfish to get the prices. And I was like, okay, that can't be right. Like, a Black Lotus cannot cost $3,000 today. So I went over to Star City Games, and lo and behold, Black Lotus cost $3,000. So I was like, well, MTG Goldfish is... Yeah, and then, you know, yeah, I mean, of course, that's in, you know, in near mint condition. But I mean, by the same token, it's how I did it for everything. So I did that last time, too. So, you know, it's not like the $10,000 is because I suddenly switched from letting you play with a Black Lotus that, you know, some 5-year-old chewed and ate versus a brand new one. It's, they were both mint before. So it's gone up $10,000 on all mint. And so I went to Star City Games and it was $3,000 there. And so I went to MTG Goldfish's data points by going to, I think it's TCG Player, where it gets its information from. And lo and behold, all the Black Lotuses available were $3,000 there. I went to eBay, which you can usually get things cheaper on eBay. And there was no mint Black Lotuses. There were some like played ones, which had obvious flaws on them. And you could buy them now for $2,000. You know, and I was like, and then I was like, oh, look, here's an auction for one. And like, there was like 4 days left in it or something. And it had, and it was up to $2,000. And I was like, this is insane. Like, that all obviously hit up more than $2,000. It'll probably end up getting closer to $3,000. And it's also not near mint. This is really happening. Like, there are now, you know, Ancestral Recall is up over $1,000. Mox Sapphire is up over $1,000. Time Walk is skating the edge of $1,000 at $950. The other Moxes are sitting around at $800. And that isn't entirely what did them all in. You know, the prices of dual lands has also gone up. The price of a revised Underground Sea is now over $300.
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
Like, I know, like, you know, I mean, there's probably a bunch of us who have some of these cards who are playing online right now, but I would say probably the majority of people playing online just don't really think about or pay attention to the day-to-day prices of the average dual land in paper. I was floored. I couldn't believe it.
No wonder everyone's so excited to come online and draft them. I mean, look, that is no high school kids are ever going to be coming into Vintage. I'll tell you that right now, unless it's the son of the Sheikh in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, right. If they're a fortunate son, for sure, they might be able to. They'll be like, "Ooh, I'm going to play in paper." But then, who are they going to play against if they're not really in like the northeast corner of the United States?
Right.
I mean, you can own them all.
It's just insane. Look, how many of these cards right now are just super attainable right now? We're getting ready to have a draftable set at $7 a pack. Granted, that's almost 200% of a normal pack, but you're going to have those as rare. Dual lands is a rare rarity. you're going to have some pretty amazing stuff that you need at Mythic with, like, Mana Drains and Oath of Druids and stuff like that. And then, you know, at the special rarity, you've got Power, which, you know, you just said how much money that is. That's insane value.
And then to think that, like, these prices for dual lands online, like, Underground Sea is around, you know, $32, and that's only because it was promoed, and Tundra is sitting around $40-something. Like, that's not sustainable. When VMA comes out, there's just no way, like, the blue dual lands are going to be, you know, all over $20 a piece, because that's just not going to happen.
We'll see. I think some of them will be. I think Underground Sea and Tundra.
I mean, it will be maybe the first couple of days, but there's so many of these already in the system. They've been pumped out through MED 2 and 3 and 4 and through promos, and then VMA is going to get drafted like nobody's business.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't know if you can, like, if any bot owner would, like, go below 20 with Tundra and Underground Sea. It's just, you know, it's a known quantity that they're amazing cards and they're must-haves.
Yeah. I didn't pay anywhere near that for anywhere near what they cost now for the ones I have.
Right.
Yeah. If this set is heavily drafted, the market is going to be flooded with dual lands at rare. I agree with Mike. I could easily see these things coming down lower than $20.
Yeah.
It won't last forever. I mean, these cards are going to go back up for sure, but, you know.
Yeah. Next year's YSO, we'll be talking about how, you know, ha ha ha. Remember a lot when we were having a discussion about how they, you know, we're under $15 and, you know, they'll be $30 again. But this set is being drafted until whatever, September, October, all the way through September.
Well, it's up on until, sale through then.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's no precedence for a set like this. I mean, there's never been anything like this before. You can name any reprint set ever, and I will give you at least two major reasons why that set's not like this one.
Oh, for sure. You know? This is dramatically different. I mean, an all-new rarity, freaking pulling cards that have never been reprinted in any set in the history of the game. It's astounding. I mean, it's really, really, really history making.
And so many of them. Like, there's just so many cards. I mean, it's just like, I mean, we haven't even seen them all. And I, you know, it makes me go crazy. I'm thinking about, okay, well, there's 105 rares, there's 10 dual lands, and then there's things like, you know, Force of Will, and there'll be Misdirection, and there's Ikarid, and then, like, you just start going down the list, like, the crappy cards are going to be cards like, I'm sure there'll be some crappy rares, but, like, Living Death. You know, like, Living Death is going to be a crap card. It's going to be, like, a 20-cent card.
Because yeah, just, but you're still going to slam it in Limited.
Oh, of course, in Limited, for sure. But, I mean, like, that's a crazy card to have at Rare and just kind of just, you know, whatever. It's just, I got another Living Death.
Dude, I
won the draft, but, you know, yay.
Stop it, dude. You're getting me all excited because now they're talking about how it's like Cube again. Like, how it's like Cube, but you keep the cards.
It's not going to be like Cube. I hate to break it to you guys,
dude,
but
I'm telling you right now, looking at the power level on these cards, you say, hey, you know, it's not going to be like Cube. If you have experience with Elephant Guide and stuff like that at Uncommon, with freaking Arrogant Worm at Uncommon, some of these cards are Cube-worthy.
I mean, they're
ridiculous.
In Cube, you would open up a pack, and it would have, like, Mox, Black Lotus, are you kidding?
Baneslayer Angel.
Yeah.
You would be lucky to get one Mox or draft.
No, that's what I'm saying. I've opened up packs in Cube, which had, like, two Moxes and, like, another card that was, you know, like, Library of Alexandria. And I'd be sitting there going, like, okay, do I want Library or Mox or Mox?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a choice that's ever going to happen to you. If that never happened to you in Cube, you didn't play it enough.
I never have seen a pack like that.
Absolutely, it happened. Now, that, to be fair, I actually played some of that in beta, so I don't know if they switched around some of the stuff, but, yeah.
Like, it happened to me that way for sure, too.
Yep.
Seen multiple pieces of power in a pack.
I mean, that'll never happen here. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not going to be like drafting a regular set, but it ain't going to be quite like drafting Cube, where, like, you would open up a pack and there would be literally, you know, 8 rares in your pack that were just because it's Cube, right? That's not going to happen here.
Well,
so,
the thing is, I think just you're just saying that because of the card rarity in the pack. I mean, a lot of these cards at Uncommon, my point is they're rare worthy. So
no.
it's like saying, you know, examples. Some of the cards like Greater Garganon that are in Cube that are at Rare, or, you know, Ravenous Baboons and stuff like that. you would still call that a rare. And in this set, stuff like, you know, Battle Screech and Elephant Guide, and I mean, some of that stuff's way stronger than some of the stuff that's at rare.
Well, that's not what I'm saying, though. I'm telling you, you would open up a Q pack and you would have a ridiculous first pick. Like, you'd be like, holy crap, any one of these five cards would be a great way to start. And then it's not going to happen here like that. It's not. It's not going to be the same.
I agree with you. I played a lot of Cube, too, but I can see there being a lot of power in these drafts. It's not like, not a lot of power in the literal sense, but a lot of power, like, very, very strong cards. Like,
totally.
Yeah, MMA was good, but this is just insane.
Yeah, well, think about, like, it's going to be well below Cube, but I would say probably, and obviously above VMA. MMA. Which, that puts it in kind of, like I said, it's a set all in its own. Right? Like, it's different than that. It's obviously much more powerful than MMA, even just by what we're looking at right here.
I can't wait to see the rest of the spoiler, because I want to argue on it, but I know I can't yet until I know what's in there. But from what I've seen, it looks really good.
Like, Cube was so crazy that you would be like, I'm going to second pick, you know, Wasteland. Because everybody had, you know, one, you know, land that was, like, if they got Mishra's Workshop, you better Wasteland it or you're going to lose. Because, you know, they drafted the Artifact deck and they're gonna pound you, right?
Workshop sucked in Cube.
Well, in Powered Cube, it didn't suck.
Yeah.
No, it didn't suck. You get pounded. But if somebody let you some of those artifacts go around the table, they'd lay down Workshop and, you know, Sol Ring go down with their whatever four mana creature they had, or put down a swords and attach it the next turn, and you were screwed. That was game over. You just couldn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. That never happened to me, but
it happened to me bad. I still have tears from it. I've collected them in a little bottle over here, and it's like, it says Cube Tears, because I lost so many Cube drafts to ridiculous drafted decks. I was like, what was everybody passing around to these people? But it was so powerful. It was insane.
So, Mike, let me ask you, like, going back to these price points with in paper in particular, as you know, we had Steve Zerbis on last week, and he was talking about some of the excitement that's starting to accumulate in the paper world about people coming on and getting into Vintage Masters and playing Vintage online. Do you think with this increase in the prices in the paper that this is going to drive more people to come over and play Vintage Masters online? Do you think that has any impact at all?
Maybe, but I mean, you have to think, if that was kind of if that was a causal effect, you'd think it's because they were selling some of their stuff. I mean, there are people out there who have already purchased all of their Vintage goods. They've been buying it for a while. Like, guys like Steve Menendian and Zerbis himself, they've already got, you know, they've already bought into MTGO. They just don't play it as much, or even at all for that matter. They've already been gearing up. They're already sold on it. But I mean, you have to think that if someone just said tomorrow, all right, I've got all my Vintage cards and I'm going to start playing online, they still need several grand worth of cards to kind of have the same experience that they get, you know. And even apart from decks like Dredge, you're still paying a grand online for a deck. And that's not a small chunk of change. Now, of course, you could make the thing. You'd be like, well, I've got these, you know, extra two revised blue duels I don't really need because, you know, it's Vintage and I don't always need four Underground Seas. I'll just sell one of them and I can afford half of my online purchases. But,
You know, it would be really interesting to see. I mean, obviously this is not something that will be talked about probably, but, you know, I think more people in the paper world have come around to Modo over the last couple months as this has started to come to light. Like, we're 3 weeks away now. And I know for myself, the closer I get, the more excited I get about it, like it's finally coming. I'm wondering how many people that were on the fence are actually saying, like, holy crap, look at this set. This is wicked. It's really going to happen. Like, man, I got to make a move. I got to get in here.
Well, when they announced Force of Will, that was kind of that's like an egg that they finally got cracked, right? And once that got
a barrier,
you know,
sure.
It was a bit, everyone's like, $100 Force of Wills, I'm not going to play online. And then it was like, oh, $35
Force
of
Wills.
$100
So
right. Well, yeah, but then you have to spend another $100. I don't get me wrong. I mean, how many times have we talked about how stupid it is that people would look at the price of Force of Will, but not at the overall cost of playing online in the first place, which was always way, way, way below. I think we've pretty much beaten that horse to death. But
well,
I mean,
you
as
know
soon
what?
as
in that vein, though, I could actually see people quitting paper to come online. I could see paper.
I agree, Zach.
I mean, how does it not make sense? They've got a new car's worth of cards. And unlike, really, like Steve said, you got pockets of places that you can play, but most of the you can't even. Why would you hold on to $27,000 worth of cards that you can't play? You're in Montana.
One of our clanmates, Caxon, I'm pretty darn sure he had beta power, like mint beta power.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, he's in San Francisco, and I'm like, I don't even, like, I remember him telling me he never even gets to use it, like, ever. Right. I wonder how much of that there is out there, and I wonder how many of those people would just have so much better time to have a digital platform where they could play anytime they want, in their underwear eating Cheetos and drinking Mountain Dew. You know, yeah. I
think it's pretty common, Zach. Like Steve alluded to it last week on the cast. Like, there, you know, wherever he was living previously, there was nowhere for him to play up until recently. And you know, I think, obviously, this is premature at this stage, but I'm envisioning Vintage online at least equivalent to how Legacy fires, like a couple, 2 to 3 of them a day. Like, I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot of people that want to play this. Like, how can you resist as a paper player in Vintage not wanting to play Vintage at the drop of a hat? You know, you can play Vintage, you can play in sanctioned tournaments 3 times a day, perhaps. Like, man, that is too good to pass up.
And unless you're in the hottest of hotspots for Vintage, I'll bet pretty much anything you want that you'll find much better competition online than you will with the 6 to 8 guys you know around where you live.
Well, that's what people say, that you know, lots of paper players say that there's a tougher competition level online than there is in paper. So I think that's a fair statement.
Well, yeah, I'm online.
The fair thing to go about is that there isn't going to be anybody new going into Vintage. Like, how can you? There's not going to be, like, how can there be a guy who's sitting around going, like, I would really like to start playing Vintage. Should I play online, or should I just go ahead and buy the paper cards?
Yeah,
unless that guy, like you said before,
not getting any new people.
Yeah, like, it's not possible. And you got, I mean, there was once a time when we were talking about, you know, Power coming online, and this is 7 or 8 years ago, and people would be like, oh, it might be the death of Vintage if you brought on Power, because it'd be so much cheaper. And I was like, come on, really? Like, that's not likely to happen. Like, at that time, though, like, a full Vintage gamut would cost you $5,000 or $6,000, which, to be fair, at least, you know, it's not, you know, that's a used car, you know. You can get, like, a Corolla used for $5,000-$6,000. Now,
or you spend $25,000 and...
Now, the numbers are staggering. Staggering. It's not about even the percentage. Like, you have to spend $20,000 more to play in paper. How can anybody make that choice?
You're choosing between a down payment on a house or some cards.
I mean, and of course, you can just play certain decks and so on. If you want to play, if you want to go to every Vintage tournament and run out Dredge, like 10 proxy Dredge, more power to you. You know, awesome for you. Like, it'll cost you, you know, $100 or whatever it is, because you can just all the bazaars and you can take whatever it is that, you know, so you want to put in there and say, all right, well, this is Icarid, here's the planes, you know. But you know, other than that, who really enjoys it? Does anybody actually enjoy playing Dredge? I apologize to all the Dredge players out there. I don't know how you do it, but
I enjoy playing it when I just want to win.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I don't take, you know, it would take no joy in the win, right? It was like, yeah,
no,
I didn't even really play Magic.
I even abandoned hope.
Sorry. I suppose if I was in a tournament playing Dredge, then maybe I might enjoy it. But if I'm sitting around just playing in tournament practice, I couldn't do Dredge.
Well, the win is the only joy you could possibly get. There's no way you can actually enjoy playing Dredge.
It's not even like playing Magic. Like, you don't actually cast spells or do anything. You just kind of pretend like, you go like, okay, that's on the field now. It's like all their cards are Cheaty Face from, like, Unglued. Unhinged?
Yeah.
You guys ever seen that? Every card in Dredge is just Cheaty Face. You put Bazaar in, and it reads, all your cards have become Cheaty Face, and they just start appearing onto the ground.
Yeah, it's not the way I would go. I would definitely not want to just spend the money to play in some proxy Dredge tournaments in Vintage.
I remember a long time ago speaking with one of my old CQ clanmates, where he's talking about deck choices, and he said what's going to be really different online is in paper, people consciously choose to play things like Stony Silence and Nolrod fish decks, because they don't run a lot of power, and then that's kind of like, all right, well, I can beat all the guys with their big power. Online, that's, you got to figure that's going to go away. I'm, you know, like, given the choice between I want to play a deck fully powered out versus I'm going to weasel my way through with a, you know, a bunch of, you know, merfolk, because I don't, you know, and Mach Sapphire, go.
I disagree with you, Mike, on that, because, yeah, a lot of the online guys that are currently there obviously are going to gravitate towards the big power decks because we never had them. But the paper guys coming in, these are absolutely real decks, as you know. Like, I mean,
no,
fish is
no. Of course
very
they are.
Solid. And so these guys are not going to.
But given the choice, think about it. Like, at its heart, when you go into a tournament, some people just want to win, they don't care. But how many times do you think making that choice is really the win? A lot of the times they just kind of won with it, versus if you've looked at Vintage over the last little while, yeah, you get every once in a while you get like a humans deck who pulled it out and so on and so forth, but most of the time you're running up against power, dredge, power, right? Like,
that's, I don't know, Merfolk. Yeah, I hear you, but Merfolk actually won a bomb not too long ago.
Where?
Bizarre Boxen.
Wasn't that Legacy, or is that when the Vintage Side tournament?
Oh, that was in Europe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, well, no, but again, that's a different metagame over there, because that's fully sanctioned. You know what I mean? Like,
a strong deck,
I don't own power, so I'm going to play this deck and beat some of the power decks that I know will show up. Like I said, online, that guy's just going to own power. That same guy who is sitting there going like, well, I don't own power, so I'm going to play Null Rods and Merfolk.
Well, Mike, I'm going to build it just to spite you. I'm going to be playing.
Of course, you can win with it. That's not the point. You wouldn't be spiting me. You'd be spiting yourself. You'd be like, "Well, I've got all this power, but I'm not going to play it in a tournament."
Oil power.
Speaking of spiting you, Mike, I know one guy that's going to spite you. And Calavera's got those merfolk suited up for you, ready to go in Vintage.
That's okay. I'll just play it with the druids.
Saying that for how many years do you?
He could just lose to every workshop deck that shows up. Oh, look at that. He's got a 5-3 guy that makes all your guys useless. Oh well, I guess
no.
He wins.
Merfolk chew on 5-3 guys.
So Mike, we asked Steve last week, or may as well ask, well, what type of deck list are you going to gravitate towards once we get the power?
All
you
of
got
them.
Any particular?
All of them. Everything that's not dredge. All of them. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, you won't catch me playing a lot of mid-range fish style decks. Not because they're not good, because they are. I tend to play what's fun, you know, and that wins. You know, good decks that are, you know, Steel City Vault is something I like. I like Land Still. I like it with, you know, Pack Rat in it too. You know, I'll try anything. You name it, I'll do it. I'll play Tezzerator. I'll play, you know. Bomberman, I'll play whatever you want to get that involves me.
You're going to be slinging Doomsday or what?
I'll play Doomsday for sure. I love Lab Maniac Doomsday.
Yeah, that's a tough deck to play, actually.
It's, yeah, but that's the fun. I mean, I'm honestly, like, I'm thinking about, let's try to give Ad Nauseam Tendrils a go back. Because we haven't seen that one in a long time. And I mean, I know that there's reasons why it got kind of pushed out of the way in Vintage, but, you know, man, oh man, it's just fun to throw that card and just, okay, I'm going to draw 26 cards. Go.
You know, Sphere and Lodestone aren't going to be restricted, right?
No, I'm well aware of how that goes. And you know, the funny thing is, I already own 4 Horkless Recall, so I'll just play those, but if everybody else doesn't have them, I think I'll feel good about it.
Speaking of which, I think we're about 90 minutes out from our full set spoiler.
So are we just going to go for the 2-hour podcast here?
I don't know about that.
We're just going to stare at the screen and refresh now every 5 minutes. And
So let me ask you, going back to cards that potentially could be released in this set, what do you guys think about Gush and Daze?
I think they will be in it.
Is going to be released? Gush is a little bit of a bottleneck. A lot of people play that in different formats. Well, I guess Pauper and... Pauper and Classic right now, but it's a pretty well-known deck in Vintage. There's not a ton of Gush on board because it was printed in Masks and that dual deck set. There's not a ton of them out there.
I think those are easy commons to print. There's no reason why they should cost a bunch of money.
Well, the other thing about having cards like that is it's already got me going, like, thinking about how much fun the set's going to be. If they, you know, the more powerful cards, the better. Cards like Gush are just generally good. I mean, having that in limited is totally fine if you're in blue. I mean, at its worst, it's a 5-mana divination or an instant. At its best, it's, you know, you have no land drops and you have a lot of mana. You know what I mean? It's good stuff.
Although, strangely enough, Fastbond hasn't been spoiled yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised Fastbond hasn't. I would think that would be a big green pillar that they could... But green's got Oath as its pillar, I guess.
Yeah, it's easy to get, though, as being a restricted rare.
Yeah, it's pretty fringe. Like, I don't think a ton of people are playing Gushbond right now.
It's actually the same reason I'm surprised they reprinted Balance.
Well, didn't they make that a Mythic, though? I mean, Balance is a ridiculous, ridiculous limited bomb.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's just a ridiculous card,
it's
period.
It's a ridiculous card altogether.
Yeah, it's Mythic. Yeah, I hate the art on it, too, by the way. I can't stand that picture.
Yeah, when the old art is so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the old art was so iconic, right? The guy with the scales, and he looked ridiculously good.
Isn't that Lord Sapphire standing there?
Could be.
Okay.
I only say that because that's his avatar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out here. I mean, there's a lot of iconic commons and stuff that they can put in here that are powerful and...
We haven't seen Dark Ritual, which is a little surprising.
Lightning Bolt's not in there yet, right?
Right, Lightning Bolt hasn't been spoiled yet.
I think those are probably easy givens.
Yep. Giant Growth, you'd hope, be in there just because of its... We can't be because it's probably 8th. It's probably Modern Legal.
Yeah, it is Modern Legal.
So is Lightning Bolt. So Lightning Bolt won't be in there either.
That's true. I wonder, maybe they still will do those.
Chain Lightning.
Yeah, Chain Lightning's a good one.
Yeah.
They need to put Fire Blast in there. They need to put Chain Lightning in there. They need to put Quirion Dryad in there. They need to put...
Didn't Quirion Dryad? Quirion Dryad was pretty intense.
Yeah. What about Pyroblast? They'll probably have something like that in there.
Yeah, Red Elemental Blast as well.
Yep, they're
pretty. I want to have a bunch
red
of those.
Red Elemental Blast.
I love those cards. Life Force, Death Grip.
Woohoo! Word of command.
There's one for you.
Death Grip.
I used to love that card back in the day.
Me too, man. It was great. We used to play like 5 color Magic. Everybody pick a color. We'd be like, okay, well, I'm playing black. I got Death Grip. I'm just going to counter everything the green guy does.
There are a lot of cards from like
Thoughtlash.
What about what's his name? Phyrexian Dreadnought?
Yeah, that's an interesting card. Stifle and Dreadnought.
You can put Stifle in there, you can put Dreadnought in there, right? Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome if you were able to draft both of those.
And Cyclopean Tomb.
Is Stifle in there?
No. Not yet, anyway. I will find out in a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. You know what would be crazy is when they spoil it and you like open it up and the first card you see is Polluted Delta.
I don't see that happening.
I still think they're going to reprint those in a modern frame.
They'll just put those in like M16 or whatever.
Yeah. They're going to be in Vintage Masters too.
No, I don't think so. I honestly, there's no reason why those fetch lands aren't modern legal. It doesn't make any sense to have some fetch lands available in modern and some not.
Right.
Sure enough.
I can there even be a Vintage Masters 2? Everything is in this set.
I was, you know what I mean?
Like, and it would just be the same card.
It's the
like
same set with a different set symbol.
Dude!
Yeah. Yeah.
We are so close right now.
Like, it's just impossible to have an anything like this 2. Just because, I mean, there's the amount of cards that can be in here are just never going to grow, right? Everything's, like, I mean, I guess they can ban more stuff in modern, and then we could put that in there too, right? But
yeah, the next day.
I don't really see that being a real good reason to just not, you know, end up keep printing, you know, VMA forever.
Black will get Liliana next time or something.
Well,
just fun because you could just keep using it for prizes for packs.
Remember
forever.
How good we thought Med 4 was. Like, all 10 duels?
Yeah, but there was no mythics, and there was and then there was 110 rares. Now I know there's that many rares in this one, but it was like all 10 duels, and then like workshop, and then restricted carts. Everything else that awesome was restricted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of killed it, right? Whereas here it's like, well, not only do we have all 10 duels, but we've also got, you know, Force of Will and Icarid and Misdirection and blah, blah. I mean, I only named like 12, and there's 77 more rares to, you know, spoil
it's
tonight.
It's insane. Like, I do fear how bad some of them will be because they always even it out.
Well, I mean, don't forget, some of them are also coming from Conspiracy. So some of them are, you know, just being made right now. So people, there's some, like, don't forget, there are people who are going to want to play Dak Faden. And they're going to, Dak Faden is twice as hard to get a playset of as any one piece of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's restricted, right?
Right, because all those powers are restricted, right? So playset of power is one. Like, if you want to play Merfolk and all you run away, if that's the only deck you want to play and all you need then is, like, you know, Ancestral Recall and Time Walk and Mock Sapphire. And I don't know why you're not playing Black Lotus. Let's give that one too, right? Like you would have almost as tough a time, you know, getting, you know, Mana Drains and Dak Fadens if you wanted to have another deck that had that. I don't know why you do it. I'm just trying to make an example of how hard it would be for you to get 4x of any mythic in here. And by that same token, getting, you know, the rares out of it is also not going to be, you know, well, they should be fine. If everyone's trying to get the mythics, the rares will just get pumped into the system, which is why I don't think the duels can sustain a price of $25. Because people just keep drafting until they're not that price anymore.
Yeah. I am going to be drafting this set unlike any time I've drafted before. I'm going to sleep the... I'll be dreaming about it.
You're going to sleep BM?
He's going to BM in his sleep.
I quite often do, right? But I usually wear and I've had all sorts of crazy.
I'd like to move that was stricken from the record.
I played Magic for like 18 hours in a day, and you go to sleep, and you're still tapping in your sleep.
What?
It's terrible.
Then it turns into a nightmare where you don't pick the special card, right? You pick Battle Screech instead.
You know what?
Yeah. Tell you Shyamalan time and twist in your dream.
I picked Battle Screech over Mock Sapphire.
Do you know what? Back in the day, this did actually happen to me once. I was at my parents' house, and I decided I was going to load up a draft. And this was before I was really into drafting, and it was Odyssey. And I opened a foil Call of the Herd. Pack one.
In the day, yeah.
That was worth $50, I think, back at that time. And would you believe it? It friggin' crashed on me, and I lost the card. I didn't get it. Oh, was I mad. It's the only time it's ever happened to me, though, where I opened a true... Like, that was probably the best card at the time that you could have drafted there. Foil, gone. Somebody must have thought it was Christmas when they got that passed to them.
Well, the good news about this set is I'm looking through all the spoilers, and it's like everything that's not worth money... I'm still really happy to have in my deck.
Oh, for sure. Like, if you open a duel, well, I'll just be like, it's a duel, but it's still friggin' ultra sweet.
Oh, man, they even have, like, some of my old favorite extended combos, like Tarot's Faithful and Astral Slide. Are you kidding me? Do you know how much fun that is? Awesome.
Yeah, if there's lots of cycling, Astral Slide would be wicked, which I'm presuming there is. It's in the set.
Aren't those lands the Urza lands? I guess they'll probably be in there, right?
You would think.
No, yeah. Why Urza? Lands? Why not use the Onslaught ones? They're better.
That's what I mean. Is
Onslaught. The Onslaught ones, sure, yeah. Either one.
Which ones? The ones that are one colored mana?
The Onslaught. Cycle? It's the Onslaught ones. Because in Urza's everything that was cycling was two.
Yeah.
Right. And then Onslaught ones. So I was. Which maybe was they, could actually, have, they could have them both. What would be the problem?
That was actually better in Urza's block because you had the card that. Fluctuator or whatever that would let you cycle through everything.
Yeah.
So guys, I gotta ask you, and this is kind of a silly question, but I'm interested on what your answers will be. Out of all the Power 9, what one card are you most excited to have in your collection? Of course, it probably comes down to about three cards, but...
What do you mean?
Well...
One.
Well, for me, not necessarily. I mean, to me, it's between... I mean, probably Black Lotus would be the card I'd want the most, but I mean, Ancestral Recall and Time Walk are friggin' ridiculous.
I'm an Ancestral Recall fan ever since Snapcaster Mage was printed, because I like casting it twice.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be either Recall or Lotus.
I'm Lotus, I think, but...
I'm Lotus just because... You can draw three cards once, or you can cast a Jace once.
Yeah, but Ancestral's good any time. There's never a time in the game where you're just... Like, if you've already got your... You know, you're rolling along, the control's going, oh, look at that, I got Lotus. Okay, well, I guess I can, you know, pay 9 mana for something instead of 6, because I've already got 6 mana, because we're that far into the game. That happens. Right? There's never a time where I'm like, oh, look at that, I picked up Ancestral Recall. Meh. Oh, well.
You might think that when I hit you with Misdirection.
Yeah, you might think that until we're playing Landstill versus Landstill and you have 2 cards left in your deck and you just top decked Ancestral.
Yeah, well, you'll be thinking there. You guys will think that when I end up playing Notion Thief when you
see, you answered that wrong. You should have said, well, I could always point my Ancestral at you.
Yeah. That's what I thought you'd say.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, if your only land is a workshop, you can't even cast your Recall.
Mike would rather deck himself than do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not right. I would rather lose the game. No, you don't get my Ancestral Recall.
Hey,
you don't get 3 cards.
Oh, man.
I don't care if I only get 2 out of it. They're my 2 cards.
That reminds me of, like, back when I used to play Paper. You know what was, like, just, like, a legendary card that was so awesome back in the day? It's Underworld Dreams.
Yeah.
Yep.
Talk about, like, one of the rare situations you'd, like, turn Ancestral Recall into a bolt.
Well, back in those days, like, games would go, like, 80 turns anyway, right? You get into some sort of weird ground still where, like, oh, we both got 9 creatures on the board, and nobody wants to do the combat math of trying to figure it out, so we'll just keep drawing cards until someone hits a bomb. Oh, Underworld Dreams is slowly killing me. Look at that. That would happen all the time.
Right.
I remember there was one guy who had a deck that had Underworld Dreams and... Mirror Universe and Lich. That was his, like, the whole deck was around getting out, you know, either killing you with Underworld Dreams, and then if you're gonna beat him fast enough, he'd be like, okay, I'm Lich, and now there's Mirror Universe, go.
Yeah.
Right, like, and it was so hard to beat it, because he would just, you know, try to beat you from so many angles.
Yeah, I never got super serious about it back then. I wish I did, looking back. But then again, I'd probably been drawn into whatever the top decks were at the time, and those don't look that amazing.
No. It's amazing how bad decks were back then, like, locally especially, too. I'm sure there were some pockets where there were some really smart people who had figured out, like, hey, you know what? You can actually win a game with, like, Goblins and Lightning Bolts. You know, like, when the first... Like, I remember the first time anybody played aggro against me, I was like, that's not even a real deck. You can't do that. How are you beating me with commons, right? And then you had to adjust your strategy. But that wasn't until like 1995 that I even faced off against that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do remember there was one guy at my shop who had an amazing affinity for Savannah Lions.
Like, that was
his favorite card in the world. He like could not get it, and that was back when it was before the you could only have 4 in a deck. He had a deck with like 11 Savannah Lions.
He would have lost to my deck that had 17 Prodigal Sorcerers in it. Poke, 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 poke.
Back then, I still remember I was playing 5 color with duels and carrion ants.
Yeah, that was a great card. And then it got reprinted in Chronicles. Yeah. And everybody was so happy because it was so hard to get before that.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was one of the guys who got it before that.
You know, isn't it funny? Here we are. We are gushing over like a reprint set of everything. And yet, you know, when Chronicles did this, like, what, 19 years ago or whatever Chronicles was, maybe 18 at this point, you know, people got so mad they had to make the freaking reserve list.
I wasn't mad. Like, I was just like, I was more like I am about the Force of Wills that I bought. I was more like, well, that kind of sucks. I wish they would have reprinted something else.
Yeah, but, well, the Chronicles wasn't even good reprint, man. It was Carrion Ants and, like, you know, City of Brass. Woo. You know, meanwhile, what everyone really needed was like reprints of dual lands and power. If that had been in there, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It would not be $27,000 for you to play a game of Vintage in Paper.
Yeah, well, I hope they feel like they're in an elite club, because soon they will be.
Yeah. That, well, I mean, how much can you, like, who wants to play with that? I wouldn't even feel safe taking that to like a tournament, because don't you really have to? If you have, even if you're playing a proxy tournament, you know, like you have to have the cards there.
I would be actually, man. I had my collection stolen at a free tournament once, man, and it was the end of my paper days. I never played again, but I would be absolutely paranoid of turning my back on my power. I'd be. I hear you.
I guess, you know, like if you've got that much money that you can just hold on to $27,000 worth of cards, I guess you can hire a bodyguard to go with you to the tournament, right? And then that way, you know, nobody can steal your $3,000, you know, 3.5 by 5 or whatever the size of a card. That's a bit big, but whatever, the 2.5 by 3, you know, card that they've got to protect your $3,000 bill.
Mike, you're not even talking about the guys that have pimped out decks like beta, alpha, and beta power.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That one's got white borders.
$20,000 or something stupid like that.
Well, that's if it's rated, you know, by a PSA agent or whatever it is. And
they're rare.
Yeah.
You know what a near mint underground sea costs on Cape Fear Games right now?
For what? What's that? Like unlimited or
from beta?
From beta? I would say $3,000.
$3,500.
Nice.
I'm on SCG right now, and a near mint Black Lotus, which they don't have in stock, would cost you $10,000. Alpha, sorry, a beta would cost you $6,000 for a beta Black Lotus.
I mean, my God, just to have your borders black costs you an additional like $60,000 to your deck.
And for anybody who's listening who's like, I own power and I love owning, good for you. You know, like, all the more power to you. It is absolutely a collectible. It is like a piece of art nowadays, you know? I don't know if you'll be able to hold on to it like you would a Picasso and then, like, sell it 200 years from now and be like, back in the day, this is not worth it. You know, I don't know if that'll work out for you, but it doesn't seem like they're going to go down in price.
Well, it's quite the contrary. According to your statistics, it's going up.
I don't even think you could buy a ton of Apple stock, and in 6 months you couldn't make that much money.
You know, like we'll see, because I think, as we were talking about before the cast here, I think if people are interested in playing online, I think a lot of people are going to fund it by selling their paper cards, and I think in turn, I don't care what the market's doing right now, I think in turn, eventually, power will come down in price and paper. Market.
You know what? If there's people listening who are not playing online right now, they're probably going to come on to the comment section and be like, never, never.
Come on. Tell me. I want to hear about it.
I would love to hear that. But, you know, I would love to hear back from them in like a year or 2 years. And I'd love to see them, you know, clutching onto that stick and waving that, you know, never flag again. Because I don't see it. Yeah. Like, doesn't your wife or your girlfriend, like, if I told my wife right now that I had $27,000 worth of cards tucked away over here in this box, she'd be like, buy me a car.
Right.
Well, we'll know that things have truly changed when the yearly Vintage Champs tournament is an online tournament.
Yeah.
That's going to have to happen someday.
And you know what the prize for that will be? 36 VMA packs.
Yeah.
It won't even be anything good. And then, you know, you'll get a personally. You know what they used to? They tried giving away art online at one point. Do you guys remember that? I don't know if you guys were part of MG. They actually had some tournaments back in the day where that you could win, like, art. Magic artwork was one of the prizes for winning an online tournament.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they did have, and apparently it was a real mess, and they kind of never did it again, which is kind of sad, because wouldn't it be awesome to win, like, the Vintage tournament and get, like, you know, a piece of, you know, signed, you know, artwork for, you know, one of the pieces of, like, a Black Lotus signed by Christopher Rush, you know, or something like that?
Well, just as more ammo for the Cube debate, it looks like somebody just posted that Armageddon was spoiled as a mythic.
It's in your email. It's in your personal summary.
So, there's another one.
That's not a bad mythic, though, really. Like Armageddon.
Oh, that's what, you that's talk a, about a card that is annoying.
It was ridiculous. Do you guys remember MED1 with Armageddon in it?
Oh God! Yeah.
Oh my God! Oh, it was so annoying. That was it. Was such a bomb in that deck.
That was almost as annoying as Ublet.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Ublet
this is annoying in Cube. You play against that in Cube, and you're like, my God.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Well, he got his bigger creature out, and then he Armageddon next game.
Yeah, he got two small creatures out.
Or yeah, whatever. He's got board. Yeah, he's got board control, and he Armageddon next game. on the plus side, you could always force a will it.
Yeah.
True. If you opened a force.
Or daze it. Even better.
Mm-hmm.
Or gush. You could gush if we have gush in response to Armageddon.
It's not really a winning plan, I don't think.
No, it's better than nothing. it's better than clicking the button that says concede.
Right.
That's true. Well, I think this is only going to keep the gaps going to keep growing. I like this price discussion, and we'll definitely have to keep watch on it.
What do you guys think about some of the cards that aren't in?
It's hard to know now until we get the full spoiler here.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point. We're all playing here 1 hour before the spoiler. We should probably, you know, put our money where our mouths are and take some guesses.
All right.
Like Wasteland, in or out?
Out.
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 Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't see it going in. Right. I don't know why I think that, but I just...
Showing I feel like tell. They would have told us already.
Show it's a natural well. Fit, I'll tell you that much. I could see it being a great addition to the set because there's not that many Wastelands out there. You know, there could be a need for that one for sure, but, you know, the bottom line is you can't put all the frigging cards in the set. You just can't do it because it undermines all the collectors out there if you put everything out there. So I say a nay on that one.
Show and tell.
In.
I don't think so.
Andy?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's the same premise. I could absolutely see it being in the set, but whether they do or not. I think I'm going to go with a yes on Show and Tell.
All right, your turn.
Actually, you know what? I've changed my mind. I don't think it's going to be there because I think that would have absolutely been one of the spoiled cards up to this point. I don't think that's a card that you just throw in on the last day when everything else is filler. So I say no.
Okay.
How about Port?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that won't be there too.
I abstain. I don't care. Port sucks. You can have your legacy cards.
Man.
Sorry, legacy players. You can have it or don't have it. I don't care how much. Port can go to $1,000 and it won't bother me one bit.
All right, I got a really good one. Merchant Scroll. Oh wait, that's
can't
modern.
Be in.
All right. Then I'll take a different one. Oh no, that one's in 10th, Hercules. I don't know, I'm kind of stumped now.
Try another one, City of Traitors.
No way.
Yeah, I go with no.
You see, that's also a card that there's just not a ton of out there.
Right, but there's so many lands spoiled already.
Yeah, City of Traitors really is a pretty big staple in all stacks decks, right?
Yeah, and it's played in a lot of legacy decks too, where they want to get the two mana and the one blue out and play their, you know, show and tells and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we're not talking about legacy; we're talking about vintage.
Yeah, but there's don't forget, a lot of this stuff is coming out is just there to help legacy too. A lot of it. They're not going to make a legacy Masters edition. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen.
Wait, don't say that.
Oh, what? Because it's going to be the same thing, except we took the same cards. We'll take power out. You just don't get to draft power. It's like the same set. We'll call it Legacy Edition.
Exactly.
That would be fun.
And then there's some cards that are like, someone was mentioning on CQ that they're running out of room for mythics. If there's going to be restricted cards, like Vampiric Tutor is not showing up yet. And, I mean, that's a very expensive card. And, I mean, you only need one. But if you don't have one, you need it.
I don't think they're concerned about that one. I don't think it'll be in. There's already Demonic Tutor.
Right, well, that's what I was saying, thinking too. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, Necropotence and Yawgmoth's Bargain are both in there. And they're the same card, too.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's restricted, though. I mean, you know, it comes from a set that wasn't open a ton, but I think there's quite a few of them online.
I really like whoever it was who called Stifle. That's a good one. I think that one will be there.
I just said Stifle because you said Dreadnought, but yeah, that's possible.
There's still a bunch of other good cards in there. What about Doomsday?
No.
No, I don't think
they're
They want to make... I think they still want to make it like... Like you said, they want some cards that aren't in the set.
Well...
It's a limited set, you can't even play Doomsday.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, it's just...
Oh, because City of Bottles is a real chaser.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, there might be a Library Alexandria that you're going to hit with that, you know?
Yeah, so if the guy got the Mythic Library, you're just hoping you drew the Mythic City in a bottle. Seems like my kind of strategy.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that's one of the few cards that's new.
LED's in there as well. LED's a brutal limited card. Terrible. So maybe Doomsday could be in there on that premise.
Yeah, but, you know, LED's Mythic in there, isn't it? I don't see Doomsday. I don't see them putting Doomsday as a Mythic.
Hey, maybe they'll put a Sensei's Divining Top in there. It's modern, but it's banned in modern, right?
Oh, you could use LED anyways. You've got Wheel of Fortune and Time Twister and Yogg-Will. I mean, imagine if you draft that deck.
That's true, Josh. I didn't think of that. Throw a Black Lotus in there, you're set.
Sure. If you draft all Mythics and Rares, you could potentially put together a pretty sweet deck.
Yeah.
And then Brain Freeze them.
I like your Moxie there, big guy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope I draft many of them.
And I'm sure there's some other cards in there that people are waiting for, like Gaea's Cradle or Sneak Attack. I don't see, you know, like, they can't all be in there. Because, you know, there needs to be creatures. It's a limited set, right? It can't be nothing but all the best non-creature spells ever of all time.
You know a card that'll go up? Well, I mean, maybe it won't go up, but it'll just be pretty hard to find if it's not in the set, is Mox Diamond.
Yeah, but who wants to find it anyway? Does anybody play Mox Diamond?
Everyone in Legacy? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I don't even think it's played that much.
Reprinted in one of those sets, those dual deck sets. So there's a ton of them out there, man. Yeah.
I mean, once they took away the legendary rule, I mean, if you were going to play a bunch of artifacts anyway, Mox Opal became, that's what happened to it, right? Jumped from like $15 to $50 overnight. Right, even the affinity decks, are they even playing Mox Diamond? Are they just like, nah, forget it, we got enough Opals over here. I got like four of them in my hand.
Well, yeah. But every deck plays land. Not every deck plays a million of artifacts.
No, I understand that. But I mean, if you're playing a bunch of Mox Diamonds, you're probably... If there's really a deck out there that needs four Mox Diamonds, it's really going to push the demand up for Mox Diamonds. I don't see it.
It's actually Assault Loam.
Yeah. Does anybody play that anymore? I remember the days back when it was played, but...
No, but it's like the only deck that uses Mox Diamond.
Right, yeah. Yay, because we, you know, we're going to get our lands back.
Yay.
Woo! That strategy is probably not, you know, you're just going to get beaten by a Delver before you even get it online.
Oh, yeah, until they do the Devastating Dreams.
Yeah. Stop bringing back old Legacy decks. I thought this was a vintage talk. Anybody who hasn't realized that I have it in for Legacy. You know, that's another thing I wouldn't mind mentioning. At this point, I mean, Legacy essentially got birthed out of Vintage is too expensive. That's essentially how it got its role, right? Like, we want to play with our old cards, but we just don't want to have to buy, you know, workshops and well, it was really Mana Drains and Power at the time because they were so hard to get. And so Legacy was kind of birthed. Don't get me wrong. I understand the play styles are totally different. There's going to be lots of people playing Legacy, but I don't see the same kind of in paper where like thousands of people will show up for a Legacy GP and like 15 people will show up for a vintage event. It can't be like that anymore online. There's got to be just as many people out there who are willing to play vintage, given it was available and accessible.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see that after some time. I will say the one thing is, it's going to take a while before enough people have power.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a while, even with all the drafting. So we'll have to see where that goes. But you know, as always, we tried this week to keep a little bit of classic content in there. If you guys want to check in the article, you can see the CQ League information. And Mike, thank you so much for being on the show today, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, good having you, Mike. I was just going to make
sure we'll have you back soon.
A quick comment here before we wrap up, guys. We got 3 more weeks of Classic left, so last couple daily events have not fired, and we've got pretty close. So come on out, guys, and get some practice in before we have the final Invitational there in early June.
We know you sold your dual lands, but play red deck wins or something.
Yeah, just get in those queues, boys, girls.
All right, guys. Well, as always, we want to thank our hosts and our sponsors, PureMTGO.com and MTGOTraders.com. And I'll see you guys next week. Again, Mike, thanks for being on, buddy.
No problem. Let's start refreshing some pages.
Seriously.
Bye.
All right, guys. See you next week.